service held at Cranard in the Great Hall, which brought together Christians and Muslims and Jews and others. Rabbi Cook told this story. There once was a king who was not a very good king, and as the winter was approaching and they knew it was going to be a very cold winter, a wise rabbi went to the king and said, "Oh, king, may you live forever. It's such a cold winter coming, and you have so much firewood, and the poor of the land have no firewood at all." And the king said, "The wood that I have is my own wood. I will do with it what I want. The welfare of my people is of no concern to me." The rabbi said to him, "Okay, would you be willing to go for a ride with me in my boat?" And the king was intrigued, so he said, "Well, I guess so." So they got into the boat, and they rowed out to the middle of a large lake. When they got out in the middle of the lake, the wise man took out a drill and started to drill a hole in his end of the boat. And the king said, "What are you doing? You'll sink us. We'll both die." And the rabbi said, "It's my end of the boat. I can do with it what I want. Your well-being is of no concern to me." Now, in that story, happily, the king kind of saw the light and changed his mind, which makes it a nice moral fable. But as I've lived with that story this week, I've thought more about the moment before the king decided to get in the boat. That moment in which history was poised to go one direction or the other. I mean, he could have said no, and it would have been a long, cold winter. But at that point, for whatever reason, history took a little shift, and he decided to get in the boat. 7 years ago, history took a little shift for New Covenant Fellowship, when either we invited Daily Bread to get in our boat, or they invited us to get in their boat. I'm not sure which way it went, but we ended up in the same boat. We ended up serving out of this building and asking God to make this a place of light and healing and sustenance for so many. I know long-term goal of Daily Bread has been to have their own space, and now they do. And so we're going to be saying goodbye to them, but hopefully we'll find a way to stay in the same boat. So at this point, I'm going to switch now to inviting some of the Daily Bread folks up. First, I think I'll start by just asking them to stand and turn around so we can shower our love on you. Go ahead, Daily Bread folks, just stand. And I'm going to bring a few up and talk with them, starting with Ellen Harms. Ellen, as well as being one of my favorite happy people, her husband did back surgery on me, which allowed me to get out of my chair of pain and actually resume a good life. So I have lots of reasons to love Ellen, particularly her.
Still doing well.
I am. Yeah, just get it like this. We'll adjust the sound back there. So Ellen, one of the things that we've shared in common is the backpack project. So why don't you tell a little bit about that, because that's been kind of your heart throb, I think.
Well, if I start, wouldn't say something else first.
Sure. Are we getting volume on?
Can you hear me? Okay. First of all, I would have to say thank you to New Covenant because I think you were the one who took us in when we had no home 7 years ago. And so I know I speak for all of us that we are very grateful that you let us in your boat. And, you know, that you saw the light and let us join you. Because had we not been able to be here 7 years ago, I don't know where we would be now. I have been working at Daily Bread, which was in the old days called St. Jude Catholic Worker House, since 1991. So I've been serving lunch to the homeless in Champaign for 25 years, and on Tuesdays. Tuesdays is my day. And, you know, but, you know, for those first 18 years, we were serving about 60 people a day. And that's because we had a small space. That's what we could do. And we're leaving here serving 200-plus people every day. And that's thanks to New Covenant, because I think what you have allowed us to do is to see that we could be bigger, that we could do more. And it was because you opened your doors, you opened your fellowship hall or whatever we call it down there, and we had that we were able to become more than we ever thought we could be. So I think we're all leaving here with gratitude and with so much thanks for everything you've done for Daily Bread.
Thank you, Ellen. So now let's hear about the backpack project.
Backpacks. Well, back in the old days, we used to basically hand out paper bags full of kind of toiletries and kind of warm weather items. And when we moved here, Stevie Bennett, who can't be with us today, suggested that we start handing out backpacks as a Christmas gift to our guests. A lot of the guests that we see don't have much of the way of a Christmas. So we sent out a notice to our volunteers and our supporters and asked them if they would donate backpacks or items to go in a backpack. In the first year we did it, we had 200 backpacks and we gave them all away. And our guests were delighted to receive them. The second year we had 400 guests. We had 400 backpacks and we gave away 400 and we were pretty impressed. The third year we had 800 backpacks. And if you're a mathematical, you can see that we're going 2 to 4 to 8. So we were really nervous about the fourth year, but we pretty much stabilized at 800. So we do it right here. We're going to be doing it again this year in the Fellowship Hall. We open our doors at 10 o'clock and pass out backpacks for a couple of hours. And we have a line that goes kind of along the couple of blocks usually. And they're filled with sweatshirts, socks, things to get our guests through a cold winter, and also toiletries. And we're thinking this year we're hoping to have as many backpacks, another 800. It's going to be a cold winter, and there aren't very many shelters, so these backpacks are a very desired gift for our guests.
So, Ellen, 25 years of serving. So as a person of faith, what does this opportunity mean for you emotionally, spiritually?
You know, it's a gift to be able to do this on Tuesdays. All of our volunteers say we get more out of this than our guests get. You know, we've come together as a family, a community of volunteers, a community of the people that we see and feed every day. And I think that what it does is it makes us all realize that we're part of humanity. We're part of a community of people who care about each other.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
And I'm glad your back is better.
So now we're inviting Rich Comperts, who is one of our New Covenant folks. And maybe, Rich, you can start by just describing what your role in Daily Bread has been.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Basically, although I never put it on, I have another tag, I never put the word liaison on it. I was one of, actually, there were three at least others, but at this point, I think I'm the only liaison left in terms of being at the building as much as possible. Interacting with the folks from Daily Bread has been the most fantastic experience in my life. I was a 28-year computer operator at Habaka and hardly ever saw anybody for 28 years. And in these past 6 years, I have seen more people than I ever could have imagined and just been fascinated by the interaction. And to me, any kind of interaction, I didn't care if it was negative or positive, was something so much different than I'd ever experienced before. Yeah.
So, again, I'll ask you the same question. As a person of faith, what has this meant for you emotionally and as part of your striving to be a faithful follower of Jesus?
Okay, well, this is what my dad would do with this, is that his life always revolved around music. And there was a song, I don't have to sing it now or anything, but if I hunger, if I thirst, who will bring me comfort and thirst? That song, to me, really, I think in some ways encapsulates what happens at Daily Bread, is that it's a chance for people to show love in a way that's very, very tangible, that gets down to very basic, very, very important need, which is to feed people. And the food is fantastic. It's the best food in the area like that. And it's the volunteers that make it that. Everybody cares deeply, and they show that in how we support ourselves and help. And to me, that is, I think, what Jesus was asking. It's just every once in a while, once in your life, every now and then, whenever you can, to reach out and show compassion and show love in whatever way you can. And there's so many ways that is, but in this case, this is a very tangible way through.
So you were here most days.
Yeah, there. I did a stint in 2014. I was in the building every single day. And I cut back from that. Now I'm old. Now at 55, I'm old. But yeah, and actually a lot of that was is that unfortunately the old Hobart dishwasher kept breaking down, and we were hand washing up to 150, 200 plates, which is quite a thing to do like that by hand like that. So, but I really enjoyed it because I got to meet every crew, and to interact and to see how every day is different, and that's wonderful. That is really cool. I really want to thank Ellen for how she structured the organization, in that you have a feeling that it's approachable, that it's something you can do, because I am in no way in industry of food, or, you know, like I said, I was a computer operator. I had no knowledge whatsoever of any of these things, and so it becomes an incredible learning experience. Also on the side of what it takes to deliver a meal, in which we have our current rating is perfect on from public health, which is really, really
so good. How would you describe the emotions that you have by the time you leave each day?
Well, there's a lot of emotions you go through, because there are times when guests will come, particularly it seems like it's late on a Friday, and that's the time when a lot of agencies are kind of closed and come with a real specific dire need, and I'll go through, oh no, you know, that. But then I've been amazed how many times that somebody, you know, has been able to find a way to help the situation, you know, to encourage the guests like that, and hopefully that happens as much as possible. And so I run a gamut of emotions, and one of the ways I kind of dealt with it was to create a persona. I was the singing Star Trek guy, was a way to kind of have a framework of approach to try to not just totally lose it, you know, when things were going however they're going. But
so for those who don't know, usually every day it's as part of the grace or whatever, you sing a song, right?
Yeah, I was doing that. I kind of cut back here recently because I've gained quite a bit of weight and I got to get back to exercise and everything, but. Yeah. I was opening on usually Mondays, Thursdays, and sometimes Fridays during the time in which there's a time around serving time, which varies from day to day, but it's somewhere around 11 o'clock. There's a time to pass on news to folks, and there's a time to let the guests, if they want to say something, or if they want to sing something, or if they want to pray, and that's a very good time, and I've really enjoyed that, and I was glad to see there were guests that were willing to come up and take the mic and sing and pray, and just if they had just had something on their mind they wanted to say like that. But.
So, Rich, we want to thank you for being our liaison and being a human connection to between New Covenant and Daily Bread. So,
thank you.
So this is Anna. This is the first time we've met. So would you begin by describing what your role in Daily Bread is?
I'm on the Saturday crew. We make soup on Saturday mornings in the kitchen, and that soup, well, we make soup and bologna and cheese sandwiches every weekend. And the soup and sandwiches are served from the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen van on Saturday and Sundays for lunch. So I am on the soup crew.
So how are things going to change for you now that you have a building that can be open 7 days a week?
Well, I think we're not going to be serving out of a van anymore, which is going to be exciting for folks in the winter and when it's raining. And I think we're also going to expand beyond soup and bologna and cheese. I've heard talk of grilled cheese, which is very exciting, and maybe some other options that I think will be... that I think our guests will be excited about. And I'm personally excited because I've been on the cooking crew and usually don't, because folks are served outside, I don't really get to interact with our guests very much in my current role. But I think there'll be a closer proximity between like the kitchen and the serving line and where folks eat. So I'm excited to get to.
So what size is your Saturday crew?
It varies a lot. It's mostly comprised of like graduate and undergraduate students from the U of I with other folks from the community mixed in. But cooking anywhere from 3 to 20, I guess, depending on the weekend. And I don't know, Jeff, it depends on the number of emails Jeff has to send out. Jeff Carnes is in charge of weekend serving at the soup kitchen, but we always have enough people to get it done, always, like every single weekend without fail, which is pretty.
So incredible. Are you a pretty good cook? Now you're going to move on from bologna sandwiches to...
Well, I'm a soup person, so but Jeff is the chef. He always has a vision on how to use like potato salad and leftover vegetables and turkey and things to make, and the soup is usually pretty good. I would eat a bowl. I always eat a bowl.
So Saturday seems to be the time that we get a different slice of the community volunteering?
I think so. I think that's my impression, yeah. Because like I can't come during the week. I'm a grad student. I have to do those sorts of things. But yeah, I think it's an opportunity for a lot of students and a lot of folks who work during the week to be able to come and volunteer. And in that sense, it's a really, like for me anyway, and I think for a lot of other students, it's a very concrete way of getting out of like the bubble of the university and interacting with a lot of different types of people and just doing something concrete that connects us with the community. Like I know some of like the strongest relationships and best friendships that I've made in town have actually been through like the Saturday, the people that I meet and hang out with and cook with on Saturdays. So
I don't know if you noticed or not, but you're a little younger than some of the other volunteers that we have here.
Yeah.
So when you look at our culture and our country and our future, what hope, if any, does something like Daily Bread bring to you?
I think, I don't know. Like if we think about the church as being a people of God and our, we're just, that we're called to love one another and serve one another and just like listen to and share with each other. I think that happens on so many levels at the soup kitchen, whether it's between volunteers and sitting there and working with someone you wouldn't otherwise interact with while I'm preparing food, or whether people are serving food and getting to interact with our guests. I think there are multiple opportunities for us all to do all of those things.
So it sounds like you believe that this is really the church being the church.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, hello, Adam. This is a little bit of a surprise. So Ellen said she wanted us to realize that this is not the Ladies' Aid Society, but really a joint effort of men and women. Do you have any idea how many male volunteers there are over the course of a week?
No, I don't, but I will say that there's quite a few. There's quite a few, and they're all hungry. I mean, I like to say that I like to help feed the hungry, and I've actually been blessed with my neighbor introducing me to daily bread, and because I was in transition and moved back into town looking for a job, didn't know what to do, and just to stay sane, you know, my neighbor, you know, she said, "Hey, why don't you go help out at Soup Kitchen?" I'm like, "Sure, why not?" So I pretty much did it during the weekdays at first. So Monday through Fridays, so I'd see how all the crews operate every day. Mm-hmm. It's subtle differences, but it's great overall. And I gravitated toward working at the front desk along with Dan O'Donnell, right. Who's a, and I called myself the front desk guy along with Dan. I got a six. And then I get to see all the guests and just interact with them and just greet them. Good morning, good afternoon, how are you? And it's a great feeling inside. Mm-hmm. And it was all good until I actually found a job with the U of I. Huh? Then, darn it, I had to restrict my time to the weekdays because I only have an hour lunch. So I decided, wait a minute. Hunger doesn't take a day off, and there's weekend soup kitchen also, too. So I started helping out during weekends on Saturdays and Sundays and gravitated towards Sundays. And but both those times I was actually feeding soup, well, on Tuesday nights also, too, I forgot, I'm sorry. Stevie Bennett, Dick's mm-hmm. husband, convinced me to encourage me if I wasn't doing anything Tuesday nights to pick up soup also, because there's a lot of things that go around in making the soup kitchen happen, and I'm like, yeah, what the heck, I'll give it a shot. So I picked up soup on Tuesday nights also, too, for a while. So I get to see a big gamut of how.
Where'd you pick the soup up from?
Urbana's Garden. Tuesday nights for a few years. We just stopped soup recently now just because of more generous donors from everywhere else in the community, and we had to work on efficiencies. But still, it was a great picking up between 8:30 and
9. So it really is a community-wide effort, isn't it? I mean, people from everywhere.
Yes. Very generous donors from the community, restaurants, different days of the week. There's El Toro. There's Arby's that does it during the day, and I believe a Texas Roadhouse also, too, and I'm just amazed. And fortunately, the generous donors of the community is just making us feed, you know, almost 300 a day near the end of the month. And like I say at times, unfortunately, hunger doesn't take a day off, so it's a blessing to help out and serve the people.
Well, thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Jim.
Now we hear from the senior citizens.
Yet young at heart.
Excuse me?
Yet young at heart.
Oh, young at heart. Well, I suppose so. Is this good?
Oh, that's good. So if you can think back 7 years when you knew you were leaving St. Jude's, what was that like for you when you were looking for a place?
Well, it was traumatic. I had been involved with the soup kitchen since 1980. That was a long time, many years, and it seemed like it was a diaspora. It seemed as though we were on the street. We were on the sidewalk, actually, and I couldn't imagine how we could congeal again. We had such a wonderful phenomenon, so much energy, and what was going to happen to it? So it was a miracle, really, to be accepted by New Covenant, an actual miracle.
So I was on the leadership team at that time, and it really was one of those pivotal moments in history where we were going pros and cons and back and forth about, can we really do this? Can we not do this? Should we do this? Should we not do this? So it was one of those moments where I think hope exists, where you can nudge it one way or the other, and I'm so glad that we nudged it towards supporting the soup kitchen. Mm-hmm. It looks like you came prepared.
Well, yes, you gave a list of topics that you wanted to talk about, and I think you wanted some statistics.
Oh, that would be great.
Stevie provided those. We serve 150,000 meals a year. Our expenses are $13,000 a month. That includes rent, maintenance, garbage, the things we pay for, all come to $13,000 a month. And amazingly, food is the cheapest of all. And that is because it comes to $2,000 a month. And that's because, as Adam explained, the community is amazingly generous. Leftover food comes from many, many sources. One of our crews, one of our cooks, was asked how much a meal cost. And figuring it out, she said, it's as close to free as you can get, because all the food was donated. Restaurants ordinarily would be throwing food away. Dorms and other places who serve, tailgates. Everybody in town is gradually understanding what you do with leftover food. You bring it to Daily Bread Soup Kitchen.
So tell us a little bit about your new space and what it's going to be like and what you're looking forward to.
It is the Taj Mahal of soup kitchens. And I think we're going to get some comments about that. But I will be there. I will stand to my full height and defend this. A soup kitchen does not have to be a hole in the wall. It doesn't have to be in a seedy place. It can be as fine as any restaurant. And this is really a lovely place. It's decorated in warm colors. It's light. It's a transformation of a lounge bar into a cheerful restaurant. I hope that our guests will feel enhanced when they come. I feel that they will be proud because they're part, as Ellen said, of a community, and they have earned this just as much as we have. So I'm looking forward to the opening day, whenever that will be soon. It's shiny and new and a little complicated, a new dishwasher, some things to get used to, but volunteers will be trained and we'll soon be functioning.
Great. So, Ellen, you have lived a long time.
Yes, I've been with it a long time.
So you've lived through dark times as well as light times. So as a person of faith, what keeps your hope alive? What?
Well, if you can bear with me, I knew you were going to ask me about hope. And I have a quote, which I would like to share, because it's resonates with me completely. It's from Václav Havel, the president of Czechoslovakia. He's died now. This is what he says about hope. Hope in the deep and powerful sense is not the same as joy that things are going well, or willingness to invest in enterprises that are obviously heading for success, but rather an ability to work for something because it is good, not just because it stands a chance to succeed. The less propitious the situation in which we demonstrate hope, the deeper the hope is. Hope is definitely not the same thing as optimism. It is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out. And I think that's what keeps our volunteers coming.
It's kind of what's kept you going too, isn't it? That kind of hope. So you know that you are my wife and my hero.
Oh.
So if you want to have one more word that you want to say to us before we move on in our service, did you come with anything else you wanted to say to the folks of New Covenant?
Well, I think it'll be part of my blessing. Should I do that?
That's okay.
This is what I intend to say. Jim Linner asked me to ask a blessing upon New Covenant, and I'm honored to do that. This Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent in many faiths. Barbara stole my thunder by announcing that. Advent is a time of withdrawal as much as possible from the glitz and sparkle of Christmas coming, a time of thoughtful inner preparation, of patience and slower pace and waiting, trying to rein ourselves in so we'll be truly present and aware on Christmas morning. Having been in the stillness for a time, perhaps coming to cherish the deeper gifts that lie beneath the tinsel, we may be reminded again that the holiday season often means loneliness and heartbreak to God's poor who are without, and we may ask for His grace to continue to serve them. How appropriate that daily bread should be together with the New Covenant congregation on this Advent day, because 7 years ago, even though it was August, New Covenant was Advent for us. Thoughtfully and judiciously, you accepted our mission and gave us the time of preparation, the time to find out who we were, to be thoughtful, to experiment, to make mistakes, to learn from them, to be patient, to wait, and to grow toward the fruition of our dreams. You extended hospitality as we in turn would do. 7 years, the time of seven, the biblical time of fulfillment, as our move approaches from the deepest recesses of our hearts, we extend our grateful blessing to your congregation, your ministry, and to the sure success which will reward your generosity and meet your every need. May light and love be your rudder, and may God's richest blessings be yours.
Thank you, Ellen. So at this point, we're going to have our pastor, Renee, come up and pray a prayer of blessing for the Daily Bread folks. And then Renee and Ellen can go back and sit down. And then we from New Covenant are going to sing a blessing to Daily Bread. After we sing the blessing, then everyone is invited to the communion tables. And we have little votive candles that you can pick up and take home to remind you of this time. Both Daily Bread folks and folks from New Covenant Fellowship take a votive candle. Feel free to go to communion as you're ready.
Our blessing today comes from Isaiah 11, which is our scripture for today. May the Lord's Spirit rest upon you, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of planning and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. May your delight be in fearing the Lord, not judging by appearances or by hearsay, but judging the needy with righteousness and deciding with equity for those who suffer in the land. May God bless you in the work that He has set for you. We pray that we also would continue to join in the work that the Lord has given us. Amen.
goodness is stronger